Can we, there it is. On the overhead is Merriam-Webster's definition for the word privilege. Privilege is an advantage that one person or a group of people has, usually because of their position or because they are rich. Privilege. So I'm going to start by talking about money. My money and Irene's money and the privileges that our money affords us. By the way, I know that talking about personal finances verges on breaking some very strong social taboos. But if I can't be real with you this morning, my spiritual friends, who can I be real with? So, Irene and I have money. In fact, though we are not one percenters, we are financially better off than, I would say, at least 90% of Canadians, and maybe even 95% of Canadians, not unlike more than a few of you. Because Irene and I are comparatively rich, we were able to help our children complete graduate educations in law, in medicine, in anthropology. Because Irene and I are rich, we are actually thinking about buying a 40-foot yacht when we retire to live a few years while we cruise in the southern seas. Because we are rich, we can and do give 10% of our after-tax income to charity. We give half of it to this church, and we give half of it to other charities. We can afford it. Because we are rich, we travel. Lately, I've had the privilege of going to South Africa twice, to Grenada, to Costa Rica, to Haida Gwaii, to San Francisco, to New York. The only reason I haven't gone to more places is that I don't have time. But if you want to talk to me about longer vacations, that's fine. Because we are rich, we can buy a new car whenever we need one without having to worry about how much it costs. Or a new furnace, or new clothes, or new electronic toys. Mind you, I don't feel guilty about being rich. Irene and I have wealth, partly on account of good luck, partly because we are very careful with our money, and partly because of our parents, who are generous with their money, and partly because we have, both of us, really great jobs. You know, some people might have cheated to become rich, but not us. And so, by the way, I also don't mind being taxed at a higher rate, or I don't mind government policies meant to advantage people who have less than me. Irene and I have plenty of advantages, after all, and it's just a privilege. But now I want to say two more things. First, as is the case with our wealth, Irene and I are also privileged. We also have advantages because we are white. I mean, Anglo. I mean, ethnically, Northern European white. Now, I don't worry that the police will card me when I walk downtown or stop me while driving through a neighborhood because I look suspicious. Police have never done that to me. And if the police or a social worker or a boss or a teacher or a store loss prevention officer does scrutinize me, I do not therefore expect to be arrested or beaten or shot or put to the bottom of somebody's bureaucratic list or not believed or failed. When scrutinized, I won't think I need to be extra polite or play possum or even put up with the scrutiny I don't like. If I complain to the authorities about being scrutinized, I know they will treat me with deference and respect and listen to what I have to say. It is a privilege I enjoy. When I grew up in my family, I did not hear stories about how my parents and grandparents were kidnapped by the government, told to lose their religion, taught to forget their language and culture, as well as often beaten or otherwise abused by their teachers. All the while being prevented after graduation from getting a good job or acquiring wealth that could be passed down from generation to generation. And I did not have to grow up in a family or a community where many of my elders could not speak about these realities because they were just traumatized. And when I grew up, I didn't have to live in a community with unsafe water and no jobs and high rates of teen suicide. I grew up with all the advantages. I was privileged. When I grew up, my parents never needed to warn me about how to deal with systemic racism. My children, though, my children, William in particular, has to teach his black children how to be meek and mild and unfailingly polite and totally submissive in the face of authority just to survive. And I won't even get into how my six-year-old grandchild already has been systemically overlooked, underserved, and dismissed by his educational system because of white privilege. No one thinks that I'm likely to be unqualified for any job, or that I received my job because of military or minority quotas or affirmative action or anything like that. White privilege is someone killing 50 people with a machine gun and then being labeled a lone wolf rather than a terrorist. White privilege is believing that Las Vegas was America's worst mass murder in the past 100 years. And it being described as such in the newspapers many times, when in fact many more blacks and First Nations people were murdered in other incidents in the past 100 years. But who remembers that stuff anyway? And of course, not remembering? Well, that's white privilege. Most of us here today, not everyone, I know that, but most of us enjoy white privilege. And this is really important to me that you hear this. As with wealth, honestly come by, we should not feel guilty on that score for being white, for being born that way. Not at all. White is good. But second, both the privilege of wealth and especially the privileges that go with being white mean that a lot of us here this morning have power. We can use or abuse that power where others do not have the choice. But for those of us who do have the choice, who do have the power and the choice, we ought to listen to today's scripture, because it's written for people like us. God wants justice for the oppressed. Every page of the Old Testament, it's there again and again. God wants justice for the oppressed, for the poor, for the racialized, for the mentally ill, for the veterans, for the physically disabled. God wants them to have a life. God wants food for the hungry, says the psalmist, and education and an opportunity and respect for the hungry too. And God wants to set the prisoners free, says the psalmist. Especially, perhaps, these days, the overrepresented First Nations and black prisoners in Canada's prison system. And the ancient Israelites believed in a God who wants us privileged types. It's not bad to be privileged, but God wants us privileged types to open the eyes of the blind, especially the blind who can't see that privilege. And God wants us to put remedies on every corporate and political and church agenda, because we have power. God wants us to do all in our power to lift up those, says the psalmist, who are bowed down, and to make right what our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents made wrong. Why? Because while financial or racial privilege is not anything that any of us should feel individually guilty about, such privileges are not our right either. Privilege, says the dictionary, is an advantage. It is, by definition, admitting that the playing field isn't even for everyone. Privilege, it is the cosmic salary that each of us has to spend to make this world better, more just and right, for Jesus' sake. Amen.